We're in a series, if you haven't been with us, we're in a series called Foundations, and we're talking about three things: family, church, and government. These are the three institutions that God instituted, that God commanded. There's no other institutions, there's nothing else. These are the three that he actually instituted. He said, here's my plans. And we've been talking about, in these last 2 weeks, what do foundations give? If you're not maybe an architect or an engineer, kind of like Daniel over here is, he probably knows, but foundations give three things. They give stability, to build upon. They give strength to withstand storms, and they give structure to operate, for a building to operate and to do business or to, you know, make a product or something like that. So foundations give us these three things, and we've been going through talking about how family, church, and the government gives us stability, strength, and structure all through Jesus and what Jesus had established here on earth. And this has been our verse. I've been challenging you to memorize this verse, and I pray that you'd commit some memory, highlight it, highlight your Bibles or put it up on your mirror and read it in the mornings. But let's say it out loud with me. So let's read it here, church. Ready? I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. This is our foundation, church. We don't serve a weak God. We don't serve the God that's shaken. This is the God we serve, who's strength and a rock, a deliverer. Man, a shield in my stronghold. This is the foundation. First and foremost, Jesus is our greatest foundation. He's our everything. And I hope today, if you're here, if you're listening, I hope that he's your everything and that he's your fortress and he's your foundation that you stand upon. And so with that, last week we talked about how the family is for relationships. If you're here last week, we went through five things about family and how the family was created for relationships. We talked about how you and I here, man, we're the brothers and sisters of God. We're the aunts and uncles, the mamas and the papas. We're not the band, the mamas and papas, the moms and dads here. But we are the family of God here. And this week I want to talk to you about the church. And here's what I want to talk to you about. The main focus for this week is just this. It's just that the church is for proclamation. Just like our missionaries are going and proclaiming the name of Jesus, the church's its main goal, why Christ established the church, was to go out and proclaim the good news. Now, of course, we know the church does a lot of other things encompassing that, but the church's main goal is good news. Jesus said here in Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, or your version might say the whole earth. We're supposed to go out as disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to go out and proclaim him. Our agenda or our operation instructions are not complicated. Jesus said, go and tell others about me, period. Go share the love. Go, what I have told you, go now shout it from the rooftops, the scripture says. Go tell everybody. And that's what the church was designed for. God instituted the church to proclaim his goodness to everyone. And in a moment here, we're going to read our Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. This is going to be our main, just simple verse for the day. But I want to challenge you to this. Many of you know that I grew up on hip hop. I love hip hop, and no, I'm not going to sing to you a hip hop song today. Okay, I would spare you that in church today. But I do want to show you this picture. I want to talk to you about Romans 1:16. This is a group of men. There's some Christian hip hop artists. Some of you know them. This is from back in 2011. They formed this group in 2011 called the 116 Click, or they wanted to challenge people to live the 116 life off of Romans 1:16. And you got Lecrae there, KB, you've got Trip Lee, Tadashi, Andy Mineo, and Derek Minor there. And these guys were Christian dudes, and they wanted to encourage other men not to be shy of the gospel. They want to encourage other guys, whether you were in the rural or in the suburban or in the hood, downtown, and inner cities, to live unashamed for Jesus. So they were Christian artists, and they formed together, and they made this whole brand called 116. And this is that symbol on the top, that's their symbol there. And it was all based upon this verse of Romans 1:16 here. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, what is Romans? What does Romans 1:16 say? Does anybody know it? That's right. I'm not ashamed, right? And so Trip Lee and these guys and Lecrae, they had a famous song called 116. I encourage you to Google, look it up. But it's all about living on point for Jesus and being unashamed of the gospel. That's our whole mission, is to be unashamed and proclaim Jesus. So let's read it here. Turn with me in your scriptures, or if you got your Bible app, and let's read this verse here. And I'm reading here out of the ESV. And let's start in verse 14. Now remember, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. And he's writing there. And remember, the church at Rome, it's a small contingent of Jewish and Gentile believers. Remember, Rome at this time in the first century was tens and tens and tens of thousands of people. And they're just a tiny little church, and this is what Paul writes them. He says in verse 14, it'll be on your screen, he says, I am under obligation, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, that would be you and I, the Gentile, the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel so you also who are in Rome will know. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray, church. Jesus, we ask in these next few moments that you would speak to us. We pray that your holy word, God, your very word would speak to us. It would encourage us, strengthen us, correct us, rebuke us, teach us, and guide us to live unashamed for you. Jesus, I ask for every man, woman, boy, and girl, all the boys and girls in the nursery and in kids' point, that they would live unashamed for you. That Jesus, out of their mouths and our mouths, we would proclaim your goodness, and that we would have faith, and that our faith would not be shaken, that it would remain solid on you, Jesus, until the day we see you. And we pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen and amen. Today's message is not long, but I want to remind us of our foundation, that we are the church. Paul here is reminding us that he was obligated, he was compelled, he had to get out. As Isaiah said, there was fire in his bones, he had to get out. He had to get out. He had to get out and spread the message. And he was writing here to the church in Rome that he is unashamed, and he's encouraging them to be unashamed of the gospel. How many of you today in our culture, we might feel like exiles? Or we might feel like, oh, maybe the cultural influence of Christianity, or just the value or the respect for Christianity is waning. It's going down and down. And more we feel like maybe we're exiles in our nation. Think about the early church there in Rome. They were up against the mighty Roman. The imperial cult was massive. And yet Paul says, hey, he says, be unashamed. Go out there and speak Jesus. Speak his name. In these verses here, Paul is very blunt, and I love how he writes, but he's very clear that he is not ashamed, for it is the power of God of salvation for everyone who believes. Paul is very clear that we are to go out and proclaim his goodness and his mightiness, that it's going to be a stumbling block to some. And some people are going to think it's foolish, but we all know that it's the only route to salvation. It's the only way. Paul here, when he uses the word not ashamed, he could have used a lot of things. He could have said, hey, just don't be timid. He could have used, go out and just gently say it. But when we look at the words here, it's not ashamed. This is a bold, mighty person. This is a bold, mighty line. This is not a going up to somebody. I go up to, Drew and say, hey, Drew, Jesus is kind of good. And you look around and make sure no one's listening. And no, Paul said, you would go out, Drew, do you know Jesus? Man, he's awesome. He saved my life. He's transformed me. There's this boldness Paul's writing about here. And I want to remind us today that the church, as the church today, that we are to be bold and we're supposed to go out. Do you feel the obligation from the Spirit to go out? And you may not want to raise your hand. Maybe you don't feel that compellingness. Maybe you've kept Jesus back, and maybe you're not completely denying Jesus, but maybe you're not unashamed of him. Maybe you're somewhere on that continuum, somewhere in there. And I want to remind us today, the church, we are here to proclaim Jesus' good news. What's interesting is Barna just released one of their new recent studies. In the generation 32 and under, over 40% said it is wrong or culturally evil. I'm trying to think of the exact words, evil and or indignant to try to tell someone else about Jesus. And these are from young people that are self-proclaimed in the church. They would be Protestant evangelicals. They were saying it's wrong to go out and tell people about Jesus. It's wrong to be unashamed to say that Jesus is the one way, that he is salvation for everyone who believes. Think about that, church. That's sobering. But Scripture reminds us that our only job is to go out and proclaim him to all the nations, to Nepal, to South Sioux, North Sioux, Sioux City, everywhere around us. We are supposed to go out and proclaim his good news. And so I want to remind us a few things. What church is not? When we look at this verse, we look at the Apostle Paul's life, he was full of vigor. Apostle Paul went out no matter the cost and was unashamed. But here's what the church is not, and I want to remind us today as part of our foundation series. The church is not a museum to the first century church. We're not here today to be like, oh, the first century was the example. That's not our goal, is to be a museum to them. It's not a good old boys club, right? It's not, oh, you only get in here if you know Tim and some other guys have been here. They let you in. Nope, nope. Everyone's welcome to the table of Jesus. The third thing is this, it's not an us for or no more mentality. We are to proclaim the gospel. The church is a proclamation, go out and proclaim it to everyone. Everyone is welcome. The fourth thing is we're not a place or people of doom and despair. As we heard there at the end of worship, we have a message of hope. We have the blessed hope. And church, when we gather, we're not supposed to be, oh, poor pity us. When Paul was writing to the church there, he didn't say, hey, hide in the basements. Don't go outside. He said, go out and be unashamed in Rome. Yes, there's going to be Caesars, and there's going to be the centurions. There are going to be people that are thinking you're crazy, and they're going to probably persecute and kill you. But he said, you go out and be unashamed to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And lastly, the church is not a building. The church is not a building. We're supposed to take care of the things that God's given us, right? We're supposed to be thankful for the homes he's given us. We have a place to meet. But church, this is just a building. This is not the church. And so the inverse, you may ask yourself, Pastor Dan, what is the church? I am the church. You are the church. And let's remind ourselves, we don't go to church. I don't attend the church. I don't watch the church online. And I don't listen to the church necessarily audibly. It's okay, you know, if you're sick, you're at home, and you want to watch, you know, or listen online. Yeah, that's okay. Could you miss? But church, we're supposed to gather. You are the church. And I want to remind us in our foundation, many of you know this isn't new to you, but church, you are the church. You and I are the church. And in America right now, we're seeing this lethargy of just come and sit, come and be, or I'll come and tend, I'm going to come and watch. And it is dying, and it's hurting the church. But church, you and I are alive. We can't be unashamed by just coming and listening and sitting. We have to be unashamed by going out and proclaiming, going out and telling, going out and sharing his word. So how can you be the church? I've got a few things I want to share. How can we be the church? How can we proclaim the good news? All right? First is this, show up. You can show up. Hebrews 10:24-25. Anybody know this familiar verse? What's it say? And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, by not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. One way we can be the church and proclaim is showing up, coming up together, meeting here on Sundays and or during the week. Some of you might get together during the week or even on Sunday with some other families in their home and share, break bread, and worship, and go over the word. That's fine too. But proclaiming, showing up and having a chance to speak to somebody. I would encourage you when you start showing up, church, start praying this prayer. God, help me to come and use my gifts somewhere and not just come and just sit. Now, that's a bold prayer for some of you, and that might be a very bold prayer. God, let me come and give rather than just receive only. Second is this, groups and friendships, Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Remember last week we read this verse talking about the family is for relationships. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two live together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against the one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Do life together. Some of you in here, you need to put yourself out and create friendships more and do life with each other. Or maybe join a book study or join BSF here, Bible, you know, study fellowship. Or maybe ask a few people, hey, can we read a book together? Or can we get together every week to grab coffee and go ride our motorcycles or whatever you want to do. But do life together, friendships. Be joined with one another here. And that's, once again, a way to proclaim to one another, to show up and to proclaim to one another. The third thing is pray. Philippians 4:6-7, which says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You are the church, and as a church, we are active. But when we show up, we have to pray together. And you can proclaim God's word by praying for people. Now, this verse here, to be the church, this doesn't mean you only pray here, right? In Hy-Vee, at Walmart, the gas station, with your neighbor, your coworker. You can be the church and proclaim Jesus by praying with people. What I love about this verse is Paul is talking to the church, but Paul didn't confine it. And through the Spirit, wasn't confined to the four walls of a church meeting. It was wherever we're at, we get to pray and ask people, hey, are you anxious? Well, let me be the church. Let me pray. Let me call on Jesus' name. Giving. How can you proclaim the good news of Jesus to all the world? It's by giving. And there's three scriptures here I want to read to us. Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And 1 Timothy 6:18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. Now, church, Paul is writing here. He's not just talking about giving necessarily to our church. I hope you keep doing that, okay? But it's about being generous to all you come around. And that's another way to proclaim, to be the church. Another way to proclaim Jesus is to be ready to be generous and to serve and to give to others' needs. Those that are in your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, all that. Many of you out here, I'm preaching to the choir, you already do that. But once again, to be the church and to be the foundation of the church is to give, is to be generous. The fourth thing here is serve. 1 Peter 2:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. Church, when you use your gifts, when you serve, you are proclaiming God's grace in its various forms, as the NIV says. You are actually spreading his grace, saying, it's because God's given me these things, and I can serve and give to you. This is all because of Jesus. You are proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Once again, you are the church. You don't come and tend. You don't come and sit. We don't come and watch. You come and you be the church. You are the church. And you proclaim his good news through being active and serving. The fifth thing is this inviting. John 1, 45 and 46. So remember, this is where Andrew calls Simon Peter and says, hey, come and see this Jesus. Philip, it says in verse 45, it says, Philip found Nathanael and he said to them, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, this Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip the evangelist, what did he say? He says, come and see. Invite. Church, you proclaim the good news by inviting people, not just to this church service at 10:30 on Sunday, but inviting them to see Jesus. You're at the coffee break table at your work. Hey, come and see this Jesus. Let me show you my scriptures. Let me pull it up on my Bible app and show you the verse. Come and see. You invite people. Come and see. Come to the time to Revive Siouxland or come to a Christian concert, whatever it is. Invite people to come and see this Jesus. You are the church, and you can proclaim by inviting people and saying, come and see. And then lastly, being a disciple, discipling people. Acts 18:26, it says this. This man stood up in one of the synagogues. This is Paul had preached, and this man stood up, and he began to speak boldly in a synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Discipling people, discipleship. You can proclaim God's good news by taking those young believers and discipling them, walking alongside of them, explaining scripture, and inviting them to church and saying, hey, let's pray together, let's meet, let's not forsake not showing up or serving or praying. You can teach them the ways of scripture. And that's another way to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And as I close here, I just want to remind us, we are the church. We are called to live an unashamed life. The Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, each of you have a different flavor in here, right? Some of you are more exuberant. Some of you are more quiet. Some of you are more extroverted. Some of you are more introverted. Each of us have a gifting. But church, all of us can live unashamed. As the church, if we're supposed to go out and proclaim him, we must have an inner boldness, a fire, a line that's sort of inside of us, the line of Judah that's making us go out and be bold, that's compelling us to go out. We just can't keep this thing to us. And as the church, we have to be transformed by the mighty powerful work of the Spirit in our life daily. We must constantly be asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill me up again today. Make me bold. Make me unashamed. It was when I go out that I'll proclaim your word. And when we gather, that I'll show up and I'll use my gifts. I'll serve. I'll give. I'll disciple people. I'll invite people to come and see what you're doing. You and I are the church. And I can't stress this enough, church, as the foundation for us. This is not the church. The building is not the church. The chairs aren't the church. Our programs are the church. You and I are the church. The living, breathing kingdom. We are the living stones, as it says in Revelation, that proclaim the good news. We must live unashamed, as James wrote in his letter to the church, that we are to snatch others from the fire. But to do that, I would encourage you, church, if you're not unashamed, you're going to be easily doused out with people throw criticism or cold water on you. You're going to be like, oh, I'm going to back up. But today, are you living unashamed? Are you willing to open your mouth? Young people here, teenagers, young adults, old adults, senior citizens here, grandma and grandpas, are you willing to live unashamed today and be the church? And so here's my two questions for us as we close. It's just this. Who will be unashamed for Jesus and proclaim it to Siouxland? Who feels the obligation today, as Paul wrote there in Romans 1:14, that I am obligated, I am compelled to go out, I've got to share this thing because it's transformed my life. If Jesus has transformed your life, church, we are obligated, we are compelled to go out. And then secondly, who needs a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to give you boldness to proclaim Jesus? Acts 1:8, And then in Acts 2, talks about the infilling of the Spirit. It is all for proclamation. On Pentecost Sunday, it'll become up here in May. It's a big thing is, oh, it's about the infilling and about tongues and baptism. And yes, Jesus wants to baptize us, but sometimes in the Pentecost movement, we miss it. We miss it for the whole fun of having words of discernment or tongues interpretations or healings. That's all valid, and we believe in that, and God's still doing that. But the goal of the Spirit is to go out and proclaim Jesus. It's to be mighty warriors, to be bold. And so stand up with me today. Let's stand up with me. We're going to close here in prayer. And let's just pray. How many of you need a fresh infilling of the Spirit to be bold? I'm going to raise my hand. I don't want to be chicken for Jesus. If he gave his life for me when I was still a sinner and I rejected him, why would I be a chicken for him today? I want to pray for that. How about you? Let's be bold. And let's just pray that we'd be unashamed here in Sioux Lane. So let's pray, church. Come on, let's pray. In your own way, you pray too. Ask the Spirit to fill you up. God, we come before you today. And we ask you, Jesus, come right now mightily. Holy Spirit, we ask you to invade these temples, all these individual temples. Fill us up again with your power and your might. We know that we fail, Jesus. We know that we stumble. But we know that you're faithful to fill us up and to help us to run our race and to proclaim you. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to fill our minds with the words of God, the thoughts of God. Give us tongues and give us, God, gifts of healing. Give us the gifts to serve the people, to proclaim you, Jesus, that you're the one true King, that you are the mighty one. God, we ask for every man, woman, boy, and girl, from the kids in the nursery to our Kids Point kids to everyone here, that we would be filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are invited into these earthly temples again today. Fill us, make us strong. Whether we're in our homes teaching our kids, whether we're with a coworker or with a relative or a neighbor, just the one-on-one, make us bold, make us mighty as lions. Make us unashamed, Jesus, of your name. May we count the cost like our forefathers have done, God, and the apostles and the early church, God. But God, may we look forward to what you're going to do here in Sioux Land. God, may you make us bold in Sioux Land. God, we ask for your infilling right now. Holy Spirit, fill this room again. Just fill us up with you. We ask this all in your mighty name, Jesus, in your mighty and strong name. And we say we are unashamed, Jesus. And let us go out and invite and ask people to come and see you and come and taste of the goodness of the Lord and salvation. God, we say thank you. May we rest upon you that, Jesus, you have created us to be the church and that we are alive in you, that we're a living, breathing church. And we just say thank you for all that you've done for this particular body and every church here in Sioux Land, Jesus. We just say thank you. We pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen and amen and amen.